This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us as we look back at the 8 years of the George W. Bush presidency. We now turn our attention exclusively to the economy and how this administration performed between 2001 and here at the end of 2008. We've been able to walk through the high and low points. Pete Sepp, Vice President for Communications at the National Taxpayers Union. And Pete, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Well, it seems like a really long time ago, but we actually had projected budget surpluses back in the year 2000, and the big debate in the campaign trail between George W. Bush and Al Gore was what to do with that surplus. George W. Bush, of course, argued that there should be tax cuts across the board and that the surplus belongs with the people who paid the extra money that the government at that point did not need. That led to the 2001 tax cuts. More than $1 trillion. And of course, we're getting close now to the point where we're approaching the sunset of those at the end of 2010. But in the hindsight, the benefit of hindsight of almost 8 years now, what was the impact of that first round of tax cuts?
Well, the impact of the first round of tax cuts was not as potent as it could have been because few people remember it was really the 2003 tax cut package which accelerated the planned rate reductions of the 2001 law and which created new tax cuts for dividends and capital gains, and which created a new relief from the marriage penalty. That's what really helped to get the economy back on its feet. The original 2001 law, you may remember, consisted initially of rebate checks, and that did very little at the time to stimulate the economy or much less give taxpayers the feeling of security that there were going to be low tax rates in the future. And the implementation of all the income tax rate reductions was simply yawning. We would not have seen the low rates that were envisioned under that plan for 4 or 5 years. And so thank goodness the 2003 law came along and implemented all those cuts immediately.
Well, let's talk about those now. Of course, in between the tax cuts, we had some severe jolts to the economy. Number one, the president came in with a mild recession. It didn't last very long. Then, of course, came the financial calamity as well as the physical calamity to this country on 9/11. And quickly on the heels of that came the collapse of corporate giants such as Enron, WorldCom, Tyco, and all sorts of other companies that really shook the confidence of American investors, kind of similar to the way things are right now in certain respects. So what did the 2003 tax cuts do that not only alleviated the lingering worries of those triggers that hurt the economy, but also moved the economy forward?
Well, several things. The dividend and capital gains tax reductions, just like they did back in 1997 under Bill Clinton, helped to drive the stock markets to new highs. And initially, at least, we were not talking about a housing bubble driving some of those values, but rather an unlocking of entrepreneurship and capital and investment willingness that really helped the American economy get back on its feet. A side benefit, of course, was that it encouraged many companies to stop thinking of ways to not declare dividends, to shove that income into other parts of their businesses. And in so doing, that helped to introduce accountability to many companies that was very absent in firms like Enron. So that was very beneficial. And by immediately putting into place income tax rate reductions, we saw revenues actually start to climb because when the economy grows, people are wealthier and they're making more money, they're paying more income taxes. And that, more than anything, helped to address the budget deficit situation that was beginning to look worrisome again, even though a couple years before we were looking at so-called surpluses as far as the eye could see.
And Pete, we'll get to spending in just a moment. One other thing that came along with the recovery from the 9/11 attacks as well as the corporate corruption scandals was a piece of legislation known as Sarbanes-Oxley, which a lot of people got behind at the time, but not too many people are willing to admit that they voted for now. What's the legacy of Sarbanes-Oxley?
The legacy of Sarbanes-Oxley is basically employment opportunities for a whole lot of regulators, both inside and outside of the government. You're not necessarily getting better accountability, or at least accountability that the average investor or stockholder can really understand. And one real problem with the Sarbanes-Oxley law was that it helped to perpetuate a practice called mark-to-market accounting, which, while not necessarily a bad thing in some situations, created all kinds of havoc in the housing markets and the mortgage companies that we are now feeling today. So we can trace a lot of the troubles in our current economy back to that law.
Another issue that President Bush championed, and this was early in his second term, was Social Security reform. He talked about it a lot in his first presidential campaign in terms of allowing Social Security recipients to invest a small portion while making sure it's solvent for those in retirement or about to retire. Never really got off the ground. What is the status of the system as a result of nothing essentially being done over the past 8 years?
Well, we have once again squandered 8 years' worth of opportunities, just as we did during Bill Clinton's eight-year administration. It's an interesting fact to recall that it was really Ross Perot all the way back in 1992 when he ran as an independent for president who began talking about the problems with our entitlement systems like Social Security and Medicare. We'd known about them many years prior, but he was the first one to make it a central portion of his platform and to keep up a public dialogue. Well, 16 years have passed, almost a generation of people has passed, and we have done nothing to reform the entitlement programs, and in some cases we've made them a lot worse with the complicity of President Bush.
And we'll talk about that in our next segment. I think you're referring to the expansion of the Medicare system with the prescription drug benefit. We'll talk about that, as well as the inability of a Republican president and a Republican Congress to keep federal spending under control. We're talking with Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. Our discussion of the economy throughout the Bush administration returns right after this short break.